podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. We took about a couple of weeks so that we could just let all the free agency waves and transactional seismic shifts occur in the NBA offseason starting in July 1st and leading out of the draft. But we're back. We're here to kind of clean up the mess, and I'm joined by my co-host Adam Murray. Let me say this, Adam. You know, not as much spending for sure this year compared to last year because of the huge cap spike. It seems like a lot of reality is setting in, being used as leverage in order to talk down salaries, get shorter contracts or lesser contracts. But does it feel like there's as much movement, if not more, than last year? Or does it seem like a little bit tamer waters?
Well, there's less big names to move around. If the biggest names were, you know, Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin, that's sort of a step down from last year of everybody can move, there's money for everybody, you know, integral pieces. This was just like there's a few big names because, you know, Durant wasn't leaving, you know, Curry wasn't leaving. So with the exception of the trades that happened earlier, the actual free agency part was just, well, we're waiting on three people and then everything was done really fast afterwards.
Yeah, I agree with you there that I mean, would you say – I don't remember if this happened last year or in 2015. Maybe you need to jog my memory a bit. But it did feel like there was an absolute, like, disparity in terms of, like, the frontline free agents that were highly valued by multiple teams that were, you know, gauging their services. So they got the big money on the front end, you know, in the early going before we got to the July 4th. You know, infamous July 4th day, where it seems like the big decision day for whoever the big free agent of that season is. Last year was Kevin Durant. This year was Gordon Hayward. But it felt like everybody that was kind of like first in the deli line got their soup. And then, like, there was a long divot there for about maybe 2 days where people just got maybe shorthand deals or really got cheap and all, because there just wasn't enough cap room left. And every team that agents were showing their players to, they just could not leverage themselves into higher salaries because they were all capped out.
It's a little from column A, a little from column B. Like last year, you know, Durant, well, I'm going to go meet with five teams. This year it was, well, I'm going to meet with two and then my team. Blake Griffin only had, like, Phoenix and Miami lined up. There wasn't a huge line of everybody needs to take their tours. It was just...
Yeah, and the fact that tampering is rampant, it's to the point where decisions are already unofficially made before July 1st, before the midnight, you know, whatever you call that, when it starts on at the end of June 30th. Most people already knew, all right, Jeff Teague's going to the Wolves. Blake Griffin is staying with the LA Clippers. What was another one that we knew right off of the bat? With the free agency, it was Chris Paul was a trade like a day or two before. I think one of them was Tony Snell. Tony Snell was like immediately signed back with the Bucks. So, you know, I mean, I don't think there is a way to solve the tampering issue. All players talk, all agents talk.
Oh, the easiest way to solve the tampering issue is just make it into a spectacle. Make it into an ESPN event. All right, it's, you know, 8 p.m. Thursday, July 1st, you know, whatever the first Thursday is. Everybody's open for business. You can sign contracts immediately. A big, you know, just a big rush as opposed to, well, you need to wait 4 days for all this to calm down. And
yeah. It's still they try to change the rules so that for restricted free agents with offer sheets that you can sign the offer sheets during the moratorium, or you can agree to the offer sheet before the moratorium, so that restricted free agents don't have to feel left out where, you know, cap space has already been used up by the unrestricted free agents, and the restricted free agents are kind of like sitting there waiting for their offer sheets because not a lot of a lot of teams, they don't want to commit to money on an offer sheet that might not actually be used, because if the original team matches it, then you don't get that player. So a lot of teams wait until all their regular signings are done to send out the offer sheets. They tried to change the rules to make it easier and to make sure that restricted free agency get a quicker offer, but it's not really helping. Have you noticed? It's like Otto Porter's was fairly early from the Brooklyn Nets, but look at Nerlens Noel, look at Jonathan Simmons, look at there's another one off the top of my head that didn't get his offer sheet immediately. They're all still kind of spitting in the wind.
Well, it changed to now everybody's a lot smarter, so it used to be, all right, well, the unrestricted guys, they're going to take their time. They're going to wait to see what teams, you know, flirt with them. And the restricted free agent was 6 days. And then, you know, it changed to, look, you better get in there quickly. You better get the money because the next guy's going to get less than you. The next guy's going to get less than that. And also, with the restricted free agents, it's the numbers have changed where you can sign this guy, but if you sign him first, so these restricted guys, well, we know we could get them at their cap money somehow is different than unrestricted free money. So we can sign them after to squeeze them in and not use whatever tax provision we have or tax code for this. So it's just a when you sign. So all these guys are pushed to the end because they know they can be signed at the later.
That's exactly right. Timing on that is everything. I mean, why do you think Jeff Teague got 3 years, $57 million, and then, well, you know what? George Hill wound up getting the exact same money, but we're going to be talking about all these teams as we get into the skinny of it. As we always start, let's start with the Atlanta Hawks. But this time we actually have something interesting concerning the Atlanta Hawks, because a lot of times I know you kind of like do the eye roll, even though I can't see you doing the eye roll, but I see you doing – I know you're doing it right now. But the Atlanta Hawks, definitely a hard reset here. I mean, they're going – I mean, it's not that they're like going from they're very good to they're kind of good, or they're kind of good to just okay. This is a – they dumped it all. This is really – interesting stuff. If you want to just kind of go through some of the details,
their team from a few years ago has just imploded on them.
The NBA Player of the Month in 2015 is gone. You mean?
Yeah. Once they lost Amari Carroll, piece by piece, it all just got picked away from them. And then we'll bring in Howard, and Howard blew up that team literally.
I mean, do you think? I'm telling you, the Dwight Mayer is real. It's a real thing. Like, everywhere he goes, trouble constantly follows. We don't have time to talk about, like, coaching, like, job security. I don't think a lot of that is being, like, debated when a lot of these free agent decisions are made. But Mike Budenholzer, under the new GM, Travis Schlenk. I mean, do you agree with what Schlenk decided? Let's not try to kind of pass this along where we're trying to stay good, so we keep Howard, we keep Tim Hardaway Jr., and we're just kind of like, floating in between and in the good, bad, gray area. Why don't we just kind of tank it for a year and start over? Do you like that game plan?
Well, you know, Budenholzer had GM
duties after Danny Ferry was let go.
Yeah, and it seems that seemed to have backfired miraculously on him, and you know, that got stripped away, and now he's on a short leash, and your best two players are Kent Bazemore and Dennis Schroeder. That is just an ugly, ugly strip down.
I mean, I don't even think they've made a deal yet on Ilyasova. They already renounced Tabocephalosha's cap hold, so the likelihood of him coming back is incredibly low. They did re-sign Mike Muscala. I knew they liked him. You know, he had been in the mix for a few years, and now that he got rewarded for it with 2 years. Not a big deal, but 2 years, $10 million is pretty good money for a guy of his services. Stretch four for per se, but now like Taurean Prince, Miles Plumlee, who a lot of people felt like was one of the worst contracts in the NBA, which they picked up in the Dwight Howard deal, they might be forced to use Miles Plumlee if he's healthy. Am I correct?
By default, he has to be the starting center on this team because it's just they have nobody now.
Yeah, Malcolm Delaney's going to have to be the backup behind Schroeder. It's tough. I mean, do you think this is the worst team in the NBA in the East or the NBA entirely?
I don't – they're just from a talent perspective. If, you know, your second best player is Kent Bazemore, and he's not good at all. And he, you know, he's the highest paid guy on the team.
He's overpaid. I'll say he's overpaid. He has some moments where he looks good, but you know, that's like we kept talking about, Adam. That's part of that 2016 crunch where all of those deals, you're going to be like, it's like the one night stand. It was like, what the hell were you thinking? And there's literally like 7 or 8 deals like that that are going to just cripple franchises. And Bazemore, to be fair to his quality as a player, Bazemore's $17 million salary is one of them.
Yeah, it was, and then, you know, obviously we can thank the Wizards for getting their, not Wizards, Warriors for their loophole super team and then destroying everybody, so no playoff games, no cap money, and oh, well, everybody's now crunched and looking at them, and they're just like, well, we don't care, we'll pay the $70 million we won.
Yeah, well, that's going to come back to get him in about 3 years, but we'll talk about that in a second. We talked about Dwight Howard, who was traded in this Atlanta ATL fortress blow-up, and Howard was traded to the Charlotte Hornets. I will say, like, you know, we're not talking about draft here. I did like their draft of Malik Monk and Dwayne Bacon, but when it comes to the signings or the transactions, really not much because they didn't have a lot of cap room to start with, and bringing Howard into the fold made that even worse. All they were able to do is add Michael Carter-Williams, whose restricted free agency was renounced by the Chicago Bulls, to no surprise. They traded Bellinelli and Plumlee in the Howard trade. Outside of that, no other movement.
No, they had no moves to make. And the fact they were able to get Dwight Howard when they had no cap room, no space, no roster spots, it makes the team watchable this year.
Well, thanks to Miles Plumlee's terrible contract, like we already mentioned above. But, I mean, here's the problem. Like, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Jeremy Lamb, Marvin Williams, Frank Kaminsky, they're all kind of in the same spot they always have been. Does Dwight Howard being included into the center position allow them to roam a little bit? Maybe, but I don't know if it necessarily makes them better players. Because Howard is well known for not making players around him better. He's just good at rebounding and blocking shots.
Yeah, and it's just going to be a year of pick and roll with Kemba to Howard, and that'll be it. And we'll see how that goes, and if that fails, I wouldn't be surprised if both those guys move again.
And then so... What they did is they were able to get Michael Carter-Williams from Chicago, like I mentioned. Now, Chicago... This is a little bit of a to-be-continued as well, though, because isn't Nikola Mirotic one of those restricted free agents we mentioned that's still kind of hovering around? We're not sure where he's going to be headed to. We don't know if there's even an offer sheet on the table yet.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we're not going to wait for weeks and weeks for everybody to sign. This is just, you know, most of the people are down. Mirotic, well, is he decent? Yeah, but...
Is he worth $15 million a year plus? That's the question.
You know, you re-sign Cristiano Felicio, whom the Chicago people like, but you overpay for his potential.
Yeah, I guess. And the other thing, too, is they still have Robin Lopez. So was it absolutely necessary to keep Felicio, especially with Bobby Portis behind Lopez? Like, that was a little bit questionable.
Apparently, we are the only ones who like Bobby Portis.
I know. I mean, even Chicago. I mean, Gar Pax, you know, Gar Foreman, John Pax. I mean, is this the moment of truth for them, or do you think they'll be the ones that are involved in the reboot that was caused by them because their team was so mediocre and unimpactful?
Well, it's, you know, I doubt, you know, Paxton was like, oh, yeah, I'll come in. I'll join this team. Oh, yeah, I'll be totally part of this rebuilding project that, you know, you sell me on. Oh, here's Butler. We'll get Wade. And, you know, we're going to build this, you know, championship team. And all of a sudden it blows up. Yeah, I want to be part of a rebuilding project. I had a cushy gig at Iowa State there. And
yeah. So you think Fred Hoiberg's days are numbered? A lot of people feel that way, to be honest. That he was a fish out of water and now... He, you know, there was all that talk about where the media kept grilling him for criticizing Isaiah Thomas, double dribbling or traveling on every play. Do you feel like he's kind of worn out his welcome? Or do you feel like they put him in a bad position because they didn't put a good style around him in terms of personnel?
Well, don't forget, after like 3 months in, all the players were like, yeah, we sure miss Thibodeau. And that's never
well, we saw that in Minnesota when we get to them in a second.
You know, if you have the players, you know, reminiscing for your old coach, it's not a good sign. And he just, you know, the GM put no players that he wanted around him. And it was just a bad fit from the beginning. And, you know,
Okay.
You got Justin Holliday.
Yeah.
You got him cheap. So.
Well, here's the thing. Were you surprised Justin signed with Chicago? Because there was the scuttlebutt that drew Holliday when he re-signed with the Pelicans. Part of the deal was that he was going to bring his brother Justin into the fold into New Orleans.
Yeah, but then they probably said, okay, you can do that, but you're going to take $10 million less. And then he said no.
Yeah, which you know. I mean, is Justin Holliday worth $4.5 million a year? I mean, I don't even know. I mean, he had some bright spots in New York every now and then where he'd have like a 17 or 18 point game, but it wasn't consistent, you know?
Well, considering they cut, you know, they cut all their point guards, you kind of need somebody in the backcourt.
Michael Carter Williams being gone, like we mentioned, that means Jerian Grant, as bad as he is going to have to be some kind of backup. I cannot see Jerian Grant as a starting point guard. Do you think they're kind of stuck having to do that? Or
like Cameron Payne is your starting point guard now.
Cameron Payne can't even get out of the D League.
I assume, you know, you could say Dunn and LaVine will be the, you know, starting one and two, but LaVine's going to have to move to the three to make room for Wade, so...
Rondo is definitely gone. I mean, they already
cut him, and...
They basically cut him. They can't sign him back. And then there's... And then the other ones that we kind of mentioned, you know, Butler is the big elephant of the room. I mean, and when you lose a player like of an all-star caliber, top 15 player, that's a tremendous blow, especially if you get like pennies on the dollar in return. And look, Zach LaVine, tremendous athlete. He averaged 19 points a game before his ACL injury. Chris Dunn might have a future, but they're not. Those two combined are just simply not as good as Jimmy Butler. You know, it's a big loss. You know, Isaiah Cannon, probably not going to be coming back. I just don't really have anything else to really say about the Bulls. You know, Dwayne Wade opted in. I mean, give me your take on Dwayne Wade in Chicago. Will he still be there by the time we get to like February or March?
Oh no, they're going to buy him out. He's going to want to be bought out, but there's no way he would have made $27 million. Period.
Well, that's the thing. He's got to go through the training camp. He's got to get through the season at least to start, and then when things go downhill, which it always does for Chicago, then Wade will be bought out.
Oh yeah, it was just this is a straight cash grab of, well, if I opted out, he probably wouldn't get 20 in this market. Maybe 20, you know, 2 years, 40 with the team option.
In the open market, well, I'm sure if Cleveland had the cap room, LeBron would have done it as a solid for him, but they just didn't have the cap room.
Yeah, that's the thing. Teams with cap rooms don't want a super old guy who...
I just talked about LeBron, and with Cleveland, you know, David Griffin, we already talked about that whole mess where David Griffin was let go. Now, David Griffin is rumored to be talking with the New York Knicks to be the next GM. First of all, is it even going to happen? Do you think James Dolan will give enough power to David Griffin to bring his own staff in the GM office and totally rip up the team? Or do you think that Dolan will just keep the interim on board who replaced Phil Jackson?
Well, the thing is, I don't know why all GMs want to come in and be like, well, I need my entire staff. I need this. You know, it's like, well, why can't you just work with these people that are already here and then see how they work out? Why do you have to immediately fire everybody and bring all your boys in?
Well, I guess the thing is that it's well publicized that not only was Griffin let go, but his underling, like his second in command, was also let go in Cleveland. So he wants to basically what it means is that he wants to bring him in too. But you know, let's just kind of get to the Knicks, even though Griffin's not involved in any of these decisions. I cannot remember the name of the interim GM unless you have it in front of you. But I think the best addition was the loss of Phil Jackson throughout the entire offseason. Is that,
well,
you know,
everybody's so happy with that.
Until the Tim Hardaway 4-year, $71 million offer sheet that will not be matched by Atlanta kicked in.
Oh, it's Steve Mills is the interim GM.
Yeah, well, this is a Steve Mills decision, and I don't think it's a good one.
It's just, well, I don't understand the logic of, hey, you know who we should go after for free agency? Remember that guy who played for us and we dumped for Grant?
Jerian Grant. Yeah.
Remember how we dumped him for that? Let's bring him back. You know what? I think he's worth $71 million. And you have Atlanta saying, well, they were willing to go up to 4 years, 48. It's like, if you're, you know, $25 million over the next guy, there's something wrong with your math.
They did renounce Ron Baker, but they immediately signed him. They did so in order to sign him to a guaranteed contract. I mean, is there a chance Ron Baker will be the starting point guard for the New York Knicks? Because they ran out of – they don't have that cap space to go after a good free agent point guard unless it's under the minimum after they signed Hardaway.
I don't know how much money they have to have an exemption somewhere, but
– like a room exception, you know, yeah, something of that nature.
They have to have something, like, you know, Rondo would fit in. But outside of that, yeah, they're not looking too good.
No, I mean, Courtney Lee's not a good contract anymore. I mean, you know, we like Willie Hernan Gomez. You know, he was like on the all rookie first team, I believe. And then, you know, Joakim Noah, probably you called this, I think, the moment it happened, worst contract in the NBA still? Or
it's defending its championship.
Bazemore is kind of close, we were just talking about.
Evan Turner, Bazemore, Noah, Tim Hardaway Jr., and now the first team all bad contracts, and Biombo.
Is it possible that New York got the worst contract in the NBA set up 2 years in a row? It's hard to do because you have to have the cap space to do it 2 years in a row.
It's looking that way.
Carmelo Anthony, you know, I don't want to get into the speculation because we got to move really fast with all these teams, but trade-wise, do you think this is going to happen? Houston Rockets is the rumor.
I don't know how the Houston Rockets have money. It would just be, do you want Ryan Anderson? No, because we have a stretch four.
Yeah.
It would require a third team who wants Ryan Anderson and all his money. And it's just, well, Houston wants all these people. Yeah, but they don't have room to fit them.
Let's go ahead and just, because we have all the crazy GM stuff going on, like we were talking about in New York, you know, Cleveland and Indiana, a little bit also kind of strange because with Larry Bird being out, Kevin Pritchard taking over, and then I don't want to say they're going to be one of the worst teams in the East for sure, but this is absolutely a reset.
It was, the Paul George trade was personal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once you've sift through it, it was like, Boston was like, hey, be patient with us. We want to do other business first. And then they, you know, then Pritchard's like, well, that hurt us. He said he wants to leave. Okay, so, you know, I think Bill Simmons said it. He's like, yeah, I'll send you to a team where you have no chance of winning at all.
In the press conference, didn't Kevin Pritchard call it a gut punch?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And so, you know, what are you going to do? Well, I'm not going to send him to the East where I have to face him four times. I'm not going to send him to a team that's going to be good. I'm not going to send him where he wants to go. So let's just dump him. Because to get – if you're a rebuilding franchise, Oladipo and Sabonis with zero draft picks is a horrible trade.
So you feel like they didn't just lose Paul George. They lost something a little bit more intangible than that.
They just lost credibility with it. If your GM gets personally butt hurt, like Phil Jackson, you know, Porzingis missed
didn't
his
go
exit
to the
interview.
Exit interview. Yeah,
I've never had a coach do that. You know, we're gonna field offers for him. You know, it's the same thing. Oh, he said he didn't want to be here anymore. Well, I'm officially hurt. You know, he probably was saying he wasn't getting along with Larry Bird because Larry Bird wanted to treat other people. So I got rid of Larry Bird and he's still butthurt. So, yeah, I'm going to send him to purgatory in Oklahoma. And it's then on top of that, okay, let's go stretch
Monte Ellis.
For five years.
Yeah, well, the stretch provision is a five-year increment, but the one thing they were able –
No, it's not what, a 5 year. It's a 2 year, whatever, however long your contract is.
But they get out of that. They do get out of that second year because it was a player option. You have to be able to enact the player option in order for that year to count on the stretch
provision.
But
the thing is, you're not going to be good this year. So what was his cap money just doing? You're just
well. That's what I'm saying. The money was going to the amount was going to be the same if you stretched him the following year versus
no, it would be 3 years.
Yeah, but you're saying you should have
and
done
you wouldn't need to stretch him. You could just buy him out.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So
if
you didn't
your
have
team's
to...
not going
to
be good, you stretch players if you're like, we need to bring somebody in who's going to be good. Bringing back Darren Collison is like, well, that's stupid. And then let's get Bojan Bogdanovic for $10 million a year. That is just a head scratcher. It's like, are you looking to be an 8 seed?
Well, the thing about Bojan is that he's just not a good fit with Nate McMillan in Indiana. That's the only thing. Unless they're just really completely retooling the team and they're going to have a whole nother style.
There is no fit. They're starting point guard, Collison. Starting two, Oladipo. Starting three, Bogdanovic. Starting four, TJ Leaf. And then Miles Turner.
And Glenn Robinson III, who I believe is still kind of on their cap, but he kind of plays like Bogdanovic does.
But he'll be the sixth man. He's the sixth man energy guy.
Yeah.
So you have four new starters coming in. Nate McMillan, doesn't matter what his system is, you have to... But it's just, yeah, why are you paying money if you're not going to be good? And why are you stretching out? You're stretching him out for no... It was just a series of hold my beer, I could be worse than you, the next GM.
Well, you're talking about the trade, but can I be the guy that when the glass is three quarters empty and I say it's half full, Victor Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis, Bojan Bogdanovic, all three. I mean, Sabonis is questionable because we haven't really seen anything out of him yet. He got too many minutes in Oklahoma City because they didn't have a true power forward other than him. But Oladipo and Bogdanovic, is there maybe I'm holding my cell phone up for them, you know, the only one in the concert? But is it possible that maybe they might blossom in Indiana?
Because they've, you know, Sabonis, it's too early to write him off, but he didn't have a position in Oklahoma City. He wasn't enough of a stretch to be a stretch four, and he wasn't big enough.
His post play is limited because he only turns on one shoulder. He's like a one move wonder type of guy, you know.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in, and it's just a series of questionable moves by, you know. I think everybody's like, well, why didn't you get better offers? Why didn't you even try? And it was just, well, he took it personal, and then once you take it personal. The same thing, you know, which we'll get, you know, the Celtics. Oh, Josh Jackson blew off the interview. Well, I'm not going to take him anymore. Good luck in Phoenix.
Bojan Bogdanovic is one of the Bogdanovics in the free agency market, but Bojan came from the Washington Wizards. So let's just kind of hit on them because it was a couple of really small potato moves followed by a really, really big one that was almost seemed like a formality if you were reading the tea leaves about Otto Porter being a restricted free agent. Let's just hit on Tim Frazier and Jody Meeks. How do you feel about those two moves?
Meeks has always been injured.
2 years, $7 million. Yeah, he had some moments when he was healthy for the very short period of time in Orlando, where he put up some decent numbers, was making some threes. He's a 3-point shooter, is his game. But do you think that can help Washington, who's known for being a good 3-point shooting team, but they don't take a lot of attempts?
Well, if you're busy, you're angry at your bench for not being good, then Jody Meeks, he's just replacing Bogdanovic. Tim Frazier is because they have no backup point guard. If you know, you had to bring in Jennings because
their bench got destroyed by Boston and the
Trey
in the playoffs.
Burke
we talked
terrible.
About that over and over again. Yeah, they had no choice but to get a backup point guard, whether it would have been through the draft, which they didn't. They also picked up Mike Scott for like peanuts. Otto Porter's the big one here because he got an offer sheet of 4 years, $106 million from the Brooklyn Nets, the Brooklyn offer sheets. And they did match. It was a formality for some. Some people were kind of questioning whether they were going to do it, but they did. Do you feel like that's an overpay for Otto Porter Jr.?
We've already, you know, discussed this. You won. They took no hesitation. I said they should balk. Now they have nobody, no cap room ever. This team is stuck.
Oh, they're in the tax.
As it is.
They're going to be like Toronto. They're going to be in the tax. You know?
They're in the tax. They have no bench. They have no wiggle room. There's nothing they can do. And then on top of that, you know, will they go offer the Supermax for John Wall? And he's like, no.
Yeah, there's some trepidation there because now you're feeling like, you know, kind of like Durant in Oklahoma City. You remember where he didn't immediately take a new extension, Supermax extension, to the point where he was going in as a free agent in 2016. Now you're thinking, oh my God, Durant's going to leave, and everyone else, all the other naysayers that are in Oklahoma State saying, no, he's just taking his time, and then this happens. I mean, do you think that's possible with John Wall?
It's one of those things. There's players who want rings, and there's players who want to get as much money as they can. There's players who are just like, you know what, I don't mind being in the rafters in this city, being in one team forever. And I guess while they've done everything he wanted, and if he's not, you know, I don't know why you would wait to sign, especially in this day of injuries. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you would wait to sign the Supermax. I'd be the first one to be like, you know, you're offering it 10 seconds, I'm going to sign it, because, you know, he has a bad year, it goes down, you know, he's screwing himself, and it's just, well, now he's probably gone.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that doesn't affect what his salary is until 2019. He's still an underpaid all-star at $18 to $19 million because he signed that extension, I believe, in 2013 when he was becoming good, but he did not become what he is now.
He took the extension and he took a little less so they can make a few more moves.
Exactly, and he's not doing that again. And I think that's kind of like the idea of like, okay, why am I agreeing to a Supermax extension now where the limits are already – when the percent limits on my salary are already set when I can actually get more money if the cap goes up? So I can kind of understand why he wants to wait. He can make more money by waiting. But it makes Washington fans nervous. The Jody Meeks deal, when he went to Washington, he had come from Orlando, like we mentioned. We can talk about Orlando. There's really not much here. They signed Shelvin Mack to a 2-year, $12 million contract. He previously played in Utah. They let go of Steve Zimmerman. Jeff Green went to Cleveland. Jody Meeks, obviously, we talked about just now. Not really much going on here, huh? Just build through the draft with your new brass?
It's year 6 of a rebuild, which is scary that they're further behind when they started.
It's like the Freedom Tower, you know?
And then just more trends we're going to start seeing. One-and-done player Steven Zimmerman cut after 1 year. They had a horrible summer league in Orlando, and now, you know, 20-year-old kid, bam, you're out of the league.
And here's the thing. A lot of the other ones that are kind of in that are they a good fit or are they not type of players that they have, like Alfred Payton, Aaron Gordon, Mario Azonia, even Bismack Biyombo, who was playing alongside Serge Ibaka. Maybe he'll be a better fit now that Ibaka's out of the way so that Biyombo can get primary center minutes. Even Vucevic, who's been a rumor of some trades in the last couple of weeks. Like, they're all still there. I mean, they haven't gone anywhere, you know?
Yep, and that's the problem, is they're all still there, and all those horror, that Biyombo contract is, you know, these are going to be great expiring contracts, but you just have to get through year 3. The year 3 is a tough part.
Yeah, and then you got to hope by that point that Isaac really blossoms along. And also, you got the question about next year restricted free agency with Aaron Gordon. Jeff Green went to Cleveland. We talked about Cleveland a little bit also with the David Griffin stuff. With Cleveland, I mean, they really didn't have much that they could do. They re-signed Kyle Korver, 3 years, $22 million. You don't like the deal because you think he's worth even less than that because of his advanced age. I thought it was okay. Jose Calderon, 1 year, less than $3 million. Jeff Green was less than $2.5
million. Well, Korver, he provides no defense, he's just a three-point shooter, and give him 3 years? That's sort of very, very iffy. And also, with these little deals, you know, you can say, oh yeah, Jeff Green got 1 year, $2.4 million. No, Jeff Green got $6 million, including taxpayer. You know, the Jose Calderon, $6 million, including the luxury tax.
Well, I mean, are they an automatic loss because they weren't able to make the big move to try to improve? Or do you think moving Kevin Love to get Carmelo Anthony or moving Channing Frye and maybe another contract to get Melo, like that wasn't going to make them that much better?
You can't be better than the conference champions. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere higher you can go than
you can be the champions, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying within the context of the East, you can't be higher than the best in the East.
I understand that.
To be the best in the West, well, okay, that's all you could be is the number one team to go to the finals. And, it's just a front office mess. You have LeBron not happy, not recruiting. It's just not looking good.
Yeah, I mean, they're so far into the tax, but, you know, that part of that deal with LeBron when he joined Cleveland was, look, Dan Gilbert, you're going to pay whatever it takes to win. And they did so in 2016 going into the 2016 season. When you remember when he re-signed Shumpert, he re-signed J.R. Smith, he re-signed Tristan Thompson, some major, major money, you know? And so, but what it is, they won the championship. So then they made some more additions like Darren Williams, Andrew Bogut for like what, a day? the small potato stuff that, but here's the thing, and we're going to talk about this with Golden State, and I think you kind of interested in this with Toronto, is that who's the next thing we're going to talk about just now, is that even when you go into the tax, you know, it's so complicated. I hate to even try to explain it to the listeners because, you know, a lot of our listeners are just kind of more of the casual type. We don't have the hardcores necessarily, all 80 of them, but what it is that when you go over the cap, you're still kind of in that gray area where you're okay. But then there's the hard cap, which is right at the luxury tax, which is about $10 million above the cap. If you go past the tax, then you have to pay like a multiplier amount of how much into the tax you are. And then if you're into the repeater tax, which means consecutive years paying the luxury tax, then it triples. And for Dan Gilbert, they're already in repeater tax mode. So any little bit of money you take on, even like, I don't know, a Rajon Rondo for $7 million. That's $21 million of tax that you're paying, you know?
Yep, it gets very expensive very fast, and we've sort of seen now the first casualty of this is, like you mentioned, Toronto. Just having dumped Damari Carroll, who, you know, yes, he was disappointing because he never really... when he had that, was it leg injury or ankle injury his first year, he never bounced back from that.
Which I totally skipped that, which is sad. What was that again?
Damari Carroll.
Damari Carroll.
Injury, never got came back from it.
I don't really remember what Carroll, what the injury was, but he was a good role player for them. He was a good role player in Atlanta, too. I don't want to say he was a bad fit in Toronto because they made the Eastern Conference Finals with Carroll playing primary minutes at the forward spot. But, you know, they were at a point where, like you're saying, they because of the luxury tax issues, they had no choice but to let him go. You know, unless, I mean, listen, you're already paying the tax. You know, the Warriors are in the same position where you can add people, but the reason why you can add people is because you're so far over. You know, it's like when you get like a – it's like when you get a murder charge and they just add 25 different charges to it. It's like, well, I'm getting life in prison anyway. You can just add these other years. That's kind of like the luxury tax. It's like, how much are you willing to pay? That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and now, you know, now they dumped Damari Carroll just, you know, recently. Yeah, you had to bring back Ibaka. You brought back Lowry. And both of those are really team-friendly deals. You overpaid a bit, but only 3 years as opposed to that rumored you're gonna give him 5 year max.
Well, the thing that really hurt Lowry was that was the point guard crunch at the top, where it seems like a lot of the teams that wanted or needed point guards or good ones immediately snagged them, and there was just no market. Also, the draft where a lot of point guards were picked, like we talked about in the last episode. So there were no open spots. Like no Philly, they got Markelle Fultz. They don't need him. You know, he tries to go to Brooklyn. I mean, Brooklyn was kind of in a position to offer it, but they didn't really want him. I mean, the Spurs, no, that wasn't going to happen. They re-signed Patty Mills, and he had no choice really but to take Toronto's offer.
Yeah, so 3 years doesn't really cripple the team too much because they can, you know, the fourth and fifth year probably would have. But if you lose P.J. Tucker, Patrick Patterson, and Damari Carroll, there's your defensive heart of your team right there. And
your forward spot is in big, big trouble once you get past the Ibaka and Valanciunas.
You got Norman Powell, who you're going to move over. You know, you move DeRozan to three, move Powell to two, but there's nobody backing him up now because you have, you know, OG Anunoby is going to be gone for probably the year, and we hope Bruno Caboclo could do something, anything.
Well, remember, before the Carroll trade, the rumor was that they were going to unload Corey Joseph. Now, obviously, they don't have to do that now. They can keep Joseph. Then you got a backup behind him and DeLon Wright, but they haven't really – he hasn't bloomed at all. He's going to have to do it this year or they're going to let him go. And then there's Fred VanVleet, who can take away minutes from Wright. So their point guard position is okay. It's that wing spot where you're like, after DeRozan, where you're like, oh my God, this is a pit, you know?
Yep, so that's, you know, the first real cap casualty of they got so close to the end and okay, let's bring the team back. Oh wait, we don't have the money to do it anymore, so.
But are they still challenging Cleveland while they're in the tax? I mean, I'll say this for Washington. At least with Washington, they are paying the piper. But now I feel like they are fairly competitive, and they could compete with Cleveland in a vacuum. With Toronto, I don't see it.
Well, Washington also doesn't have a complete roster right now. They still have a lot of holes to put in, so it's going to get more and more of a crunch.
Well, let's
Toronto
talk,
has
well,
a full roster.
That's what I was going to ask you about Toronto. Do you feel like they can compete with them? Like, as you look at it right now, because it's not.
Well, now as Cleveland's starting to crumble, no, once Dwayne Wade gets bought out and goes to a veteran minimum to Cleveland, no, it's over. If Melo gets bought out, once all the superstars go to Team A or Team B, it's
banana
over.
Banana boat.
As of now, there's a lot of dysfunction in Cleveland, and you know, it just takes one injury.
Okay, are you ready to talk about a team that can actually challenge the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well,
your Boston Celtics.
It's another team that's getting up against the crunch of salary cap. Is, you know, you had to dump. You get Gordon Hayward, and then, okay, now we have a team of point guards and small forwards, and that's it. And
well,
now you...
they listen, July 4th comes down. Gordon Hayward, who was reportedly, you know, like, he was, like, leaning, like, kind of going back and forth about his decision, yet he was able to write a 2,100-page essay on the Players' Tribune about why he wanted to go to the Boston Celtics and thanking Utah for everything they did. I mean, that's he must have been hard at work writing that article while he was, like, wrangling over his decision, am I right?
Oh, that – his agent is just, you know –
Listen, it was Chris Haynes who tweeted it, basically it was a leak. It wasn't supposed to get out, and the agent spun it so that people thought, no, there's still uncertainty of whether he's going to go. That was an inaccurate report when the truth was Chris Haynes was right the entire time.
Yeah, and the spin was, well, Gordon Hayward's wishy-washy, and he thought he'd be in Miami. Then he thought he'd be in Boston, and, you know, I'm the agent, and I'm going to make sure Utah gets a good deal out of this, and... Yeah. You know, he wrote three big Tribune pieces for every team. Like, no, that did not happen. He did not write 2,100 words for Miami and 2,100 words for Utah. It was just, you know, this stupid, well, we need to have the exclusive, so we'll pay you. Okay, I'm going to be busy writing it. Then, you know, like, word got out that all of a sudden all the Celtics players started following his trainer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, others like, oh, well, you could put pieces together. And then, yeah, Hayes had it. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a moron. He's still pining over it right now. And then...
Okay, a lot of things going on with the Gordon Hayward decision or surrounding before the decision was made. But it's over. Gordon Hayward's a Boston Celtics. Congratulations to Danny Ainge. He scored another one after getting Al Horford last year. Maybe not the true one that he wanted, but a lot of people would feel like Hayward was definitely one of his, like, benchmark targets. The main reference in the Players' Tribune article by Hayward was Brad Stevens being a pretty attractive piece to why he wanted to go there, which is understandable. He coached him in Butler when he was in college, but let's kind of get to a few things. First of all, they did try to do a sign and trade, one involving Jay Crowder. Let me say this, though. The idea that Utah fans feel like Gordon Hayward owed it to them to do a sign and trade is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. You know, like oh, you're just you want to thank us in your article, but you don't want to give us anything in return in a sign and trade. You're just going to leave us for nothing. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do because I'm an unrestricted free agent, you asshole. I don't owe you that. Do you agree
with
that?
That's how business and free agency works.
Thank you. So 4 years, $128 million, like somewhere around what, like $30 to $31 million in salary, all non-bird rights. Non-bird rights means the entire salary goes on your salary cap. So that gives them a crunch, like you said. You got to move people. Kelly Olynyk's restricted free agency was renounced. Amir Johnson, see you later. Gerald Green, Jonas Jerebko, Tyler Zeller, James Young, probably Jordan Mickey. See you later. Then they had to still shed one more contract. It was between Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley. They traded Avery Bradley, a very good guard, to the Pistons. Did that hurt your feelings?
Well, it was. I always said he was the odd man out before the Hayward signing. It was just, well, he's going to be, you know, his contract's coming up. You're going to have to pay him and Isaiah
up to 21 to 25 million. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, there's not much money for, you know, for him. It's you know, obviously if the entire league was like, how is he not defensive all league?
Well, here's the other thing too. Bradley and Marcus Smart is a very attractive type of backcourt defensively, but offensively, as we saw in the Cleveland series, it does, after Isaiah Thomas's injury, it doesn't work because of the fact that they just cannot generate enough offense and their field goal percentage can't stay up long enough. So a lot of people felt like, well, Isaiah Thomas is safe. Now, Boston and Danny Ainge have a big decision next year about Isaiah Thomas because if they offer him like a 4 year, 5 year, 4+1 max, and he's at age 29, that's really dangerous. But it felt like one of those defensively minded guards between Smart and Bradley would be on the outs and Thomas would stick around. And because you're not going to trade a 29 point per game scorer, you're just not. But I mean, do you feel like they made the right decision between Smart and Bradley? Or well, Crowder, Marcus, you could even throw Crowder in there if you want to.
Marcus Smart he's on his rookie contract, so he makes $4 million left by default.
But he'll be a restricted free agent in 2018 along with Avery Bradley, but Avery Bradley's unrestricted.
No, Avery would be unrestricted, therefore he'd probably be, you know, there'd be a lot of suitors going to go max him out.
And Crowder's got one of the best contracts in sports. We've talked about this.
Yeah, before. And that's the same thing as Utah was like, well, we want Crowder. It's like, well, no, he's the best contract. Why should we give him to you? well, we want him. Well, how wouldn't you like an exemption? And, well, you know, you want, we could sign and trade Olynyk. We could sign and trade. Nope, we want Crowder. Okay, well, then we don't owe you anything. So we're just going to make this, you know, Morris trade. And then, which they need rebounding. So I have no problem with the Morris trade. It's just you have too many. What are you going to do? You have Tatum, Brown.
Now, Tatum and Brown, we're not talking about Summer League. We might do that on another show, but Tatum and Brown look very good in Summer League. I'll say that.
But Tatum, Brown, Hayward, Crowder, and Morris are all small forwards. I mean, Morris can play a four, but
yeah,
you have just a glut of fours.
Does this start to emphasize the importance of Ante Zizic and Gershon Yabusele, that they're going to have to play more minutes?
Well, Yabusele hasn't been signed yet. They might keep him overseas for another year.
But the rumor is he's very likely to come over.
Then he would have signed already.
Yeah. But then Zizic at the center spot, you know, with Olynyk and Amir Johnson going to have to play. Al Horford's still a good point center type of player. I mean, listen, this is a good contending team. They do have a little bit more of bench guys that they have to build with. Marcus Morris in the Detroit trade. That's a decent return. He's not, like I said, he's not as good as Markieff, who's at Washington, but he's not a bad player.
We could just go with the conspiracy theory that, you know, Morris A twists his ankle severely in the playoffs, all of a sudden mysteriously comes back and scores.
Oh, so Marcus was playing for the Wizards at the end. That's why Boston signed him. It's a Doc Rivers. You know how Doc Rivers always signs players that play well against his teams? I guess that's what Brad Stevens did. Well, Marcus played well against me. I'll sign his twin brother, you know?
It's just one of those with Hayward and Stevens. The team will be fun to watch how they, you know. And that was the only
offense. I'm sorry to cut you off. Offensively, Boston is amazing. That's going to be a team that can average up to 110 points a game. Defensively, a few issues, but athletically, they're pretty good too. You know, I mean, Thomas is smaller, but Crowder's a decent athlete, good defender. Marcus Smart is a really good defender. He's got some ups. Gordon Hayward's one of the best athletes in the NBA. You know, that's another thing that Boston is gaining in this signing.
Yep, it was just the only thing with Stevens was the only reason they went to the. You don't take less money. You know, if you wanted to go destination, it would obviously be Miami, but you don't give up less money if it wasn't just for the. It was just the coach. It wasn't Ainge. Oh, Ainge didn't. No, it was only because of Brad Stevens.
You're blowing my mind that Gordon Hayward took $31 million a year and he took less money. That's just blowing my mind. So.
And that's sort of where we are right now is, like, why are players taking less money? It's because they're getting more than what they had before.
Okay, you want to talk about Detroit kind of as the takeaway because they were involved in the Bradley deal?
They did very well. You had this, you know, Caldwell Pope of we're going to max him out. And then
happy they renounced Caldwell Pope because you didn't feel like he was worth that max offer sheet type of thing.
Well, you thought he was good.
I think he was good. I don't think he was worth that. I thought Otto Porter was worth what he got.
And then you upgrade him with Avery Bradley. And he's cheaper in the end. And then, since you have no money due to just weird signings, all you can get is Langston Galloway and Eric Moreland.
Well, because they were so hard with the cap, because of the fact that they were saving that they were trying to save as much money as possible for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, signing Galloway may have been the 3 years, $21 million. That may have been the first sign of, I don't know if they're going to keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because if they match it and it goes on their cap, they're going to be into the tax, and this team is not good enough to be worth being into the tax. They bring in Bradley on that $8 million salary this year. Obviously, if they re-sign him, that balloons. But listen, they can do some unloading. They can trade away Reggie Jackson, Tobias Harris, you know, maybe John Luehr, which was one of those other what-the-hell-were-they-thinking kind of deals. But, I mean, do you feel like Detroit got better? I kind of feel like they did.
They did, and obviously the biggest loser of all was Aaron Baines, who opted out of his $6.5 million. And, you know, he's an old-school center who doesn't have, you know, that new mobility, three-point shooting, and nope, turned down $6 million, and now we don't know if he'll even have a spot.
I mean, it's a smaller roster, but, I mean, it also depends on Henry Ellenson, who played well in summer league. Stanley Johnson's got to play better. Bobon's got to get more minutes playing, you know, as a rebounding center, because Andre Drummond is, even though he's a max-level player, he's not – showing that they just got to do a lot more. But I mean, let's kind of move on here to another team that didn't really make too many other big moves because of cap issues, and that was the Milwaukee Bucks. Tony Snell, they didn't let him even go to restricted free agency. He just straight up signed 4 years, $46 million. What did you think of that?
$12 million is about average.
Yeah, good shooting guard.
That's decent player. You know, nothing, you know, rattling.
He's got the long wingspan, kind of goes with the athletic kind of moniker that Milwaukee is gaining. There were rumors about Derrick Rose. Do you think that's a decent fit?
They have no money for him.
Well, unless they want to go over, like way over. And then, I mean, if you have to let people go, you still got that Spencer Hawes deal. Because it's a player option that he opted in. But there are teams that might be willing to take it.
Like, yeah, but it's only $6 million. You're not going to get a ton of money out of that. So
here's the thing. I mean, look at what Paolo Gasol might take. Look at what Manu Ginobili is going to take. Now, those are winning situations in San Antonio. But there are team players in the market that are taking so much less, like Jamal Crawford. There is a possibility Derrick Rose will take $6 million.
That's a huge step down for him.
Okay, and then we got to talk about the Brooklyn Nets last because they always come last. We got a couple of other ones here. But Brooklyn and Philly, let's kind of just mesh them together because Philly made more moves, you know, but Brooklyn's a really bad team that didn't really make any moves.
Brooklyn has made a few trades. They took on, you know, the Mozgov and Damari Carroll money for some picks and, you know, you got D'Angelo Russell.
That was pre-draft, so it's kind of easy to forget. I mean, it's so ADHD with all these moves.
Yeah, but it still sort of fits into the team. And, yeah, it's, you know, Damari Carroll, you know, they weren't doing anything, but small steps for them, good.
Yeah.
Philly, you know, one-year contracts for some locker room presence.
J.J. Redick and Amir Johnson, you know, who both played on good teams.
Yeah, and, you know, Amir Johnson's going to be great, you know, for teaching the big men stuff. And it's just the thing with J.J. Redick I don't get is you have Timothy Luwawu, Cabarro, you have Furkan Korkmaz, who you just signed, and then you're bringing in Redick, so these two shooting guards aren't going to get any playing time, and you're going to still have this big hole next year at the two.
And I'll tell you another guy who, out of the rookie class, that will definitely be making the roster, Jonah Bolden. I think he'll so if he makes it, like, that means probably what? Bye-bye Sergio Rodriguez already, right? I mean, maybe you have to trade away Nick Stauskas. Rashawn Holmes has always been considered like a good trade chip because he's considered a good player on a small contract in case another team is trying to like dump salary so that they can take Holmes back in return to get some value. Like, do you feel like there's a couple of moves left, or do you feel like the only move left for Philadelphia is to potentially renegotiate and extend Robert Covington so that he doesn't go into unrestricted free agency?
No, they can't do that because that takes away money from Embiid and then Simmons and then...
Yeah, but those are two... Simmons is a couple years down the line, whereas Embiid is next year, so you still...
Embiid is next year, and then you have 1 year off, and then you have, you know...
Then it starts. Yeah, then the Oklahoma City circa 2010, 2012 thing starts, you know, where you have your big three, but you got to save the money to keep them. You know, it gets a little complicated after that. But, hey, we're in that little period where, hey, we got the money. We got these guys on rookie deals. We're probably going to be better next year, even though we're still bad. But so let's just sign one-year deals and get good players. Do you feel like Redick and Johnson
can make them? I think they sort of learned their mistake is let's just not have young people who have no clue what they're doing. You can't win with young players. You need some sort of veteran guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get smart players in who know what they're doing because all our young guys we ruined so far.
Okay. Miami is the last one here for the East. They kind of struck out on Gordon Hayward. Is that fair to say? Or do you feel like like a third place type of deal?
That's just a third place. Like, you got a meeting at the table. I don't think anyone really expected him to go there.
Mm-hmm. James Johnson, they kept him at 4 years, $60 million. I felt like Johnson was going to be one of those like Dion Waiters type of salary fits, depending on what happened with Hayward. And if Hayward had signed with Miami, Johnson would have taken less and Dion Waiters would have taken less. Now, because of the fact that Hayward's not there, they had a little bit more of a balloon of salary because they remember they did the medical waiver on Chris Bosh, which freed him up like, what, $20 million right there off the bat. So, but they gave him $15 million to a year to James Johnson, 4 years, $60 million. That's an overpay. I like James Johnson. He was a Sixth Man of the Year candidate, but that is an overpay.
Yeah, they're all weird overpay, underpay. Like, this team...
It's the same team. Adam, it's the same team.
You get Olynyk, but can Olynyk play with Hassan? Can Olynyk play with, you know... it's just, none of these guys, they're all, like, the new MLE, you know, just mid-level guys. And they're just, like, a mishmash of, like, mediocre players.
They traded away Josh McRoberts, but A.J. Hammonds is, like, guaranteed on rookie money for like, another year or two. And A.J. Hammonds, by all accounts, is terrible. So that
well,
was
that's
kind of
just
like
a salary dump.
Exactly. I mean, they just wanted to get rid of McRoberts. I mean, Bosch, they've already gone through the whole ritualistic thing about we're going to retire his number. But at the end of the day, they were trying to get out of his money, and they did. I just hope they didn't waste the money. That's what I'm trying to say.
And it's kind of hard to say how you got better with, oh, you got Waiters. Yeah, but he's, you know, Johnson, he's not going to push you to that next level. And you know, we all said the dangerous part is the team got better when Justice Winslow went out. And, mm-hmm. you know, what does that say about him? And just you're replacing with just mediocre people.
And a lot of I know a lot of people are going to say, well, they still have a little bit of wiggle room under the cap. If you let go of Wayne Ellington, you know, who's got like a non-guaranteed option at $6 million, you can do something else. And but here's the thing that people have to remember. Tyler Johnson's salary kicks into $18 million after this season. You have to save some of that pocket of space so that you don't go way over the following year. So they're kind of in a bit of a like a trapeze situation with that.
And Ellington, his money did get guaranteed, but you know, like I said, it's just a weird team. And now that we transition over to the West, we have just a lot of have and have nots.
Yeah, let's just start with Phoenix. They've done nothing. I mean, they added Josh Jackson. He's playing in Summer League. We'll see how he does there. Leandro Barbosa was let go. Do you think Barbosa will go back to the Warriors or there's no money there?
There's no money there.
Okay, Portland. Festus Ezeli was let go on a medical waiver. Tim Quarterman was part of that Houston thing.
Trade for cash.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Houston, man. That's hilarious. You know, Daryl Morey was on the Bill Simmons show talking about that. They didn't really make any moves because they don't have the moves. They are in the tax. Like, they are at a situation where it's like, we cannot add anymore. If anything, we have to shed people. So
they're so high over the tax. They're the book for the mistakes of last year.
I know. I mean, that is the opus of this is what you do not do if you have cap space, you know. The LA Lakers, we talked about the Brook Lopez, D'Angelo Russell trade in the draft one. I don't feel like re-exploring that.
They've signed nobody yet, so.
Yeah, I don't really remember too many other people. I mean, Lonzo Ball and his annoying-ass dad are down there in Las Vegas watching him play. Magic Johnson's there observing. I mean, we're kind of in a situation with the Lakers. Let me ask you just straight up, and we'll just – the Lakers at them. Are they better than they were at the end of last season?
They have hype. They better talent-wise, no, because they're looking to shed as much salary and tank. You've gotten. Are they better? I don't know.
Not people really. Say, "Well, they added Lopez, and you know, Ball is the point guard, so they feel like those."
Yeah, but Lopez isn't a corner piece. Lopez is just a one-year rental. They have no intention of re-signing him, so it's just sort of moved sideways.
The New Orleans Pelicans, the big one was obviously Drew Holiday, 5 years, $153 million. Oh, God. I mean, I like Drew Holiday. A lot of people felt like Holiday actually took less because he wanted to be in New Orleans because New Orleans did him a solid when his wife fell ill, you know, and gave him time, personal time off last season. So that felt like – so there's like a strong connection there between New Orleans and the organization and Drew Holiday, which is shocking because no other player has any kind of like deep connection with New Orleans. The moment that they come to this place, they want to leave. They didn't really make any other moves. They traded away Tim Frazier so they can move up to get Frank Jackson in the draft. But
who they signed to a three-year deal.
Yeah.
So that's
your
team.
And oh, by the way, if they'd have just stayed at 40 – they would have gotten Dwayne Bacon. So I'm just throwing it out there just in case we have to re-explore this. But I don't feel like – I mean, I don't feel like the Pelicans got better just because it's like the whole Mike Conley thing where Mike Conley got the big contract and everyone was like, oh, well, Mike Conley, you know, Mike Conley's like a much better player now that he's got more money. He's like, no, he's the same player. The good thing about Mike Conley for Memphis is that he's underrated. So they actually were paying a good player somewhat appropriately. Jrue Holiday, I don't know if he's worth that, you know?
Well, this is just, you know, they had their team last year. They went in all in on Boogie, and okay, we had 18, 20 games to figure out what we could do with them. Now let's sort of set up a 1 year game plan, and now they're doing it. So
this is the all in season, is what you, I guess you could call it. You got to get it done here. All right, Dallas. They got Josh McRoberts in that trade when they dumped AJ Hammonds. Dirk basically was waiting out to see what would happen with the other free agents that they were potentially looking into. So they decided that, okay, cap room wise, $5 million a year with a team option on the second year for his age. I think he's 40 years old now. Is he going to be 41 like his jersey number by the end of the season?
He's might be. He's getting there.
He's up there. I mean, here's the thing. Dirk Nowitzki, defensively garbage now, but still pretty good. I mean,
he's decent, you know.
He's worth $5 million or more.
No longer a starter, should be getting a lot more. Just, you know, he's taking that loyalty to a whole new level.
Yeah, well, the loyalty came from the other side, from Mark Cuban, because he got like a $25 million balloon payment, like Dwayne Wade style.
Well, that was just the, you know,
because they had the bird rights, yeah.
You know, and then, like I said, they've done no moves.
No, Dennis Smith Jr., you know. We'll wait and see. Nerlens Noel, to be continued. They haven't yet to, you know, no offer sheet is yet to be sent out to him. You know, a lot of the, like we said, a lot of these restricted free agents, sometimes, Adam, this goes into November or October. Like, I mean, it takes
also it's done. San Antonio, moving on next, just their usual,
we're not
do much.
Trying to speed up, like, for the format. It's just that the West teams that we're talking about, there really isn't much going on here in terms of seismic shifts, you know?
We're getting to him.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy Gay, 2 years, $17 million. They immediately signed back Patty Mills, which immediately took off the well, Chris Paul had already gone to Houston, so that was out of the way. But the idea that they were going to, like, improve at point guard, maybe move Tony Parker's contract, not re-sign Manu Ginobili, allow him to retire so that they could keep, like, a balloon of cap space to bring in a really good player. Well, the moment they signed Patty Mills, 4 years, $50 million, that was out of the window. They were just saying, okay, we're going to kind of keep the core here for another year, and we'll just kind of add a role player, and they brought in Rudy Gay. So do you think that fits?
No, Rudy doesn't really fit at all.
But
I don't.
It's a small forward. It's an athlete.
He's a player. He can score.
He's athletic, but he's got the Achilles tear. So, you know, we all know what an Achilles tear does to an NBA player. It literally grounds them. They basically become jump shooters. So
yep. You
got to be careful with that. Do you want to just go straight to Minnesota now? Now we're kind of getting crazy.
Yeah, let's just – this is all, you know – after the Butler trade, let's bring back all Chicago. And, you know, Jeff Teague, we like that signing. Gibson, 2 years, I could take it.
Yeah, the Minnesota Timber – you talk about the Minnesota Timber Bulls.
Yeah, I could take that. It's just the Jamal Crawford signing. I don't see his value as much as other people do.
Well, I was going to say, you know, that they play in the Pacific Northwest Division, but they're not, like, it's Minnesota. Like, I was trying to think, well, he grew up in Seattle. He played a year in Portland. Maybe he'll fit in the Pacific Northwest Division. But then you remember, oh, wait, it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're in the middle of the – they're in the Midwest. I don't even know why they're in that division. So in terms of, like, regional type of thing, I don't know why he chose it. I guess it was just the best offer. Do you think $4.5 million a year was the best offer?
Probably amongst contending teams.
Yeah, like, I don't think he was thinking about the Lakers because he probably wanted to stay in LA or stay in the West Coast.
He probably wanted to stay in the West Coast, and they're like, well, we're not going to give you $15 million for a year. And so, okay, if I'm going to go chase a ring, do I want veteran minimum or do I want $5 million? And Butler's like, oh, come here. We're on the ups and ups.
Yeah, but the thing is, too, they did have to do a lot of, like, shedding of cap room because of the fact that even though they are fairly well, like, or just right at the cap, which seems not bad, you know, for a team of their – because if you look at a team of their ilk right now on paper, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague, and then ancillary pieces, that's a really good team. That is a Western Conference playoff team if everything strikes right. So you would think, well, you can go over the cap to keep a team like that together. But here's the thing. Towns is restricted free agency is coming up in a year or two. Wiggins' restricted free agency is coming up next year. He'll probably get paid up to like $20 to $25 million a year in October before the season starts. So you got to save some of that money. So they had to let a lot of salary go. They traded Ricky Rubio away to Utah. Zach LaVine was part of the Butler deal. Shabazz Muhammad was let go so that he could be an unrestricted free agent. See you later, Brandon Rush. See you later, Jordan Hill. See you later, Omri Caspi. I mean, do you feel like any of these are going to be a big hit for them?
Oh, they got lucky with the Pekovic injury and
the medical waiver.
$13 million. Yeah.
I mean, Adrian Payne was a nobody. I mean, he was literally not playing basketball. So
he, and the fact that you gave up a first round pick for him.
I know, one of the worst deals in the history of the NBA or post lockout. But Gibson, 2 years, $28 million. Do not like it. Jeff Teague, 3 years, $57 million. That's fine. It's a good deal.
2 years, it's short enough. Next year, it's an expiring contract. Expiring contracts are always welcomed by everybody.
Are the Minnesota Timberwolves a playoff team?
Yes.
Are the Minnesota Timberwolves a playoff team?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if you're paying attention.
In theory, they should have been years ago.
Is there a getting the band back together stench on this one like Sacramento?
No.
I'm going to tell you, Adam, this has happened many, many times in the NBA. I can't remember like an exact time, but I know it's happened, and it doesn't always work out.
It doesn't work because it's very short-sighted.
Yes.
It's very, well, I'm not going to even try these guys. It's just, well, don't forget, Minnesota, they were too young to do anything. They've always been too young, and this is the best chance for it to work.
Okay, Rubio was traded to Utah. Now, a lot of people felt like with Utah that Rubio being moved in was like a move to appease Gordon Hayward because they were still in that in-between of, oh, Gordon Hayward might stay with Utah Jazz. Then they re-signed Joel Ingles, who was going to be a restricted free agent, but he had a very small cap hold. So they were able to basically sign him to whatever they needed to sign him to, if they, depending on how they valued him. And it was a four-year, $52 million contract. Now, I don't want to talk about that deal and how it impacted them because you have to factor in how much salary you're using on Gordon Hayward if he stays or if he goes. Well, Gordon Hayward goes. George Hill goes. Now you have a lot of cap room. I don't want to say Utah is going to blow it up because they still have good players. They still have Rudy Gobert. They still have Rodney Hood. They still have Derek Favors, who's going to be a free agent next year. Do you feel like they're in a really perilous situation, like that the pooch has been screwed?
Yeah, they got sort of screwed, but you have your cornerstone of Gobert.
A defensive player of your candidate, Draymond.
Yeah, so it's not like you're left with Atlanta and just nothing.
Yeah, Dante Exum looked good along with Donovan Mitchell in the Summer League. Now, again, that's Summer League. But, I mean, do you feel like at the point guard spot, losing George, I think George Hill being lost is not that, and then Rubio replacing him, I think that's like a net positive, to be honest with you.
I'm a fan of Rubio. I just thought he was sort of screwed in Minnesota.
I just think George Hill's kind of overrated. I mean, that's just my feeling. I don't think George Hill is really that good. He's age 30. We'll get to Sacramento in a second. We keep saying that. But now, listen, Alec Burks, you got to step up. You know, I mean, poor Joe Johnson. He's going to have to tote out these minutes. But if they're not a playoff team, Joe don't play. Everybody knows Joe plays in the postseason. But Joe Ingles, I mean, does that look like an overpay now? Or do you feel like it was more reasonable?
No, everybody seems to say it was about where he should get paid. He's one of those people who, you know, he doesn't appear in the box score, but he provides the intangibles. And it's like, okay, I'll accept that.
Losing Shalvin Mack. Nothing big.
They got Raul Neto as their third string.
Yeah, I think their point guard situation okay. I'm still always skeptical about Dante Exum. I don't know if he's a bust yet, but I mean maybe he'll develop. You know, and I mean they got Tony Bradley as one of their other bigs in case they trade away. And you think Derek Favors is subject to maybe a trade if they decide to kind of like build everything around Gobert? You think that's possible?
Well, because he and Gobert and Favors can't really play next to each other. Their skills do not mesh.
Immobile. I don't want to call Rudy Gobert immobile because he has good feet as a defensive center, but they're slow centers. You know, they're slow big men. And the injury to Favors in his knee did not do him any favors. No pun intended. Or maybe it was. Trey Lyles was one of their younger players, but he was traded to Denver. Denver made one big splash. They got Paul Millsap, 3 years, $90 million. Now the third year is non-guaranteed. So he's an older player. But he's still got a nice set of skills, and he's been an all-star before.
That was an upgrade for them, and it's provides that, you know, it solidifies the four, and just for this super young team, you now have playoff aspirations for them as well?
I would say they're right there with New Orleans. Wherever New Orleans is, I'd put Denver right next to them, or maybe slightly above. I would put Minnesota above Denver, though, because I think Minnesota's got a little bit more proven players, whereas with Denver, they're still a big mishmash there. I wanted to ask you this because I was listening to Zach Lowe's show and Bobby Marks, who just joined. Oh, I want to talk about that. Was the biggest free agent get Adrian Wojnarowski going to ESPN?
And he gets out scooped on half
by,
the things.
By Shams. What's his name? Shams Charania?
Yeah.
For the vertical. Or, you know, maybe there's this kind of like I compared this to like I don't want to get off track, so I'm gonna get off this in a second. I compared it to like Danielson and the Karate Kid, but if Mr. Miyagi joined the Cobras. But Mr. Miyagi is like giving Danielson all the tips on how to beat all the Cobras. I feel like Adrian Wojnarowski gave Shams all the scoops as a favor. It's like, well, you were my apprentice, and I want to give you a boost, so I'm just going to let you get all the scoops ahead of me because I'm protected because I'm the Woj bomber.
That's a little screw you to ESPN. I'm still going to have the vertical be relevant.
Well, what did you think of Mark Stein with the tampering leaks, where he was basically leaking all of the reports the day before he was let go by ESPN, which was June 30th. I found that kind of funny.
Well, ESPN created this mess for themselves, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, so Bobby Marks was on the show for the low post. He was talking about Nikola Jokic, who's their blossoming superstar. They're in a situation where if they decline the – if they put him on a team option for, I believe it's 2019, he would become an unrestricted free agent if you pick up the team option. If you decline the team option the following year, which is 2018, he becomes a restricted free agent, but you can set the guidelines on an offer sheet and match it. What would you do?
I would get him to – I would work out a deal with him before any of this happens.
So do you think that an extension might be chalked up before the start of this season? Which that would immediately tie you up along with Millsap's money. And also we didn't talk yet about the other one that they brought in. There was another one that they kind of tied up their money with, right?
Denver?
Yeah, I thought there was. No, I'm wrong. I'm thinking of somebody else. But
No, they just traded for Trey Lyles. They got Millsap. Nice upgrades from them, so we can move on.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about Danilo Gallinari leaving to go to the Clippers. I mean, a lot going on here with the Clippers.
Oh, they, for a team that had zero bench, they just traded everything away for their bench. They panicked. They signed Blake Griffin and his glass body to a five-year deal.
Did this reek of Chris Bosh in 2014?
It just reeked of – it was even more desperation than that.
I don't know. Chris Bosh at $25 million a year was scary. I mean, and they got out from under it, thank God. But you know, but for well, first of all, let's talk about Blake. Do you feel like he's one of those guys like Mike Conley, when he kind of got the keys to the car after getting that extension in Memphis, it sort of blossomed his game a little bit, and he became more of a premier player. Do you feel like with Blake Griffin that can happen? He could be more of a point forward, show more of his skills. He still averages like 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists a game.
Yeah, but his explosiveness is sort of gone, so he sort of has to become that point forward. And same thing with Gallinari. He's injured all the time. And, you know, Patrick Beverley is good. We Sam Decker, you like. Montrezl Harrell, DeAndre Liggins, Lou Williams will be traded before the end of the year.
Well, the thing that made the roster, the thing that really depleted the roster for the Clippers was not just Chris Paul being traded to the Houston Rockets, which was the big elephant in the room here, which we'll talk about in a second, because they added a bunch of other players. But Danilo Gallinari was a sign and trade because of cap space issues involving DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, Austin Rivers. They could not feasibly just sign Danilo Gallinari into their space, so they had to do a sign and trade. So I believe Jamal Crawford was part of that trade, and Diamond Stone, who was one of their young centers, was also part of that trade.
Diamond Stone, who played all of like 15 minutes the entire season.
Yeah, Gallinari's in the $20 million range, or is it a little more than that?
Yeah, I think it's a little more. I don't have his numbers.
How do you feel about him potentially playing small forward on a permanent basis? Because you know Doc Rivers is not a very creative offensive type of coach. When you're at the three, you're there for life. And for Gallinari, do you think he can guard threes?
There's no way. Where's he going to play? You got Griffin at the four whenever he comes back, and then Jordan at the five. So you can't play. You're not going to put him on the second unit. So by default, that's where you are.
And I know there were rumors that Jordan was in trade talks, but the reason why that was is because they were looking to see if they could do something to appease Chris Paul. Once Chris Paul was traded, DeAndre Jordan was basically set with the Clippers. You know, it was one of those. And then J.J. Redick leaves. So you got to get a little bit better shooting. You know, we get Patrick Beverley is a very good player. I mean, you want to talk about the Chris Paul trade and just kind of like we already discussed in the previous one, but basically with Chris Paul, do you feel like Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, that's a fairly good haul?
Oh, it's considering Utah got nothing for their guy leaving, mm-hmm. and then LA gets this bounty.
Mm-hmm.
Of miscellaneous players, well, you know, you have an expiring contract. Lou Williams will probably get a first-round pick for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Decker, people are high on. Like, Beverly has a friendly contract, very defensive-minded. So it's just you got something when you could have gotten nothing. So by default, it's a victory.
So is this somewhat of a soft reset? Is that fair to say? Or do you feel
To them, no. Or to them, they still think they're contenders, but they are like a 6 or 7 seed. That's sort of it's sort of a step back.
And Lob City is dead. I mean, now Miloš Teodosic is a fantastic passer. He's finally coming over. So how are you anticipating? Because I know you're a big international guy. How do you feel about Teodosic coming over finally to the NBA? I think he's in his 30s though, right?
He's 30.
Yeah.
It's funny, if this team, let's say, is that top three team that they envision that they think they are, there's no reason he shouldn't be Rookie of the Year then.
Well, I mean, I always talk about Sergio Rodriguez, but that was that infamous episode where I kept thinking he was a rookie and he wasn't. but, okay, CP3 got traded to Houston Rockets. Now, that unloading with Beverly, Harrell, Decker, and Lou Williams, do you feel like that was a little too much to give up? Or do you feel like just getting Chris Paul was enough to get him over the top to go with James Harden?
That's what they think. They think getting Chris Paul for players who will be, you know, just bench players. No, they gave away no starters. Give away Eric Gordon.
I think the dream scenario for Daryl Morey would have been if Ryan Anderson was that guy instead of, like, all those other players. But... And fair to say, the Clippers didn't want Ryan Anderson's contract. You know, the rumor is that people are asking for 2 first-round picks for Ryan Anderson because nobody wants $20 million on their books for the next 3 years.
Yep.
So that wasn't happening. Rhino is still in the fold in Houston along with Eric Gordon, who won the Sixth Man of the Year. Clint Capella is still the center. Trevor Ariza didn't get unloaded. They re-signed Nene, but there was a complication where – his contract would have dipped into the what is it called, the over 36 rule. So they had this complication where they had to make the years right so that he doesn't go over 36. Because when you go over 36 years of age during an NBA season, that contract, that salary for that contract has to be at a very set limit. You know, and after a negotiation snafu, they were able to sign up Nene. How do you feel about this team just looking at the makeup? Because they also signed P.J. Tucker to their MLE. That's why they had to put Nene in that kind of small potatoes, small mid-level exception. Then they signed up James Harden to a new extension that kicks in 2019, which is like in the $40 million Steph Curry range. So how do you feel about all that?
Well, it's just the day of let's keep the core together and have 5 years for guys to grow. It's just, well, who cares who needs a ball? We'll just, they're all-stars. They should know how to play. This team will solidly be in the top three. They'll be fighting San Antonio for the number 2 seed.
I mean, we'll have a lot of time in the season previous to talk about fit, but how do you feel like Paul and Harden fit? They're both great pick-and-roll guards, but I don't like the idea of, like, one of them going off-ball. You know what I'm saying?
They're both, you know, Chris Paul's older. He understands. They're not. It's not like if you try to ask Derrick Rose to do that.
Yeah.
No.
How about the idea of Paul being like your ancillary point guard with Harden as the primary ball handler, but Paul can do all that mid-range stuff that he's so great at that Houston was never really specialized in. They're always kind of like in and threes, you know, or five out or four out, one in, whereas now Paul can really hit you hard in the mid-range with those twos.
You know, all that matters is they think they can match up with Golden State, so let them have their moment now. They still have to fill out.
They got to beat the Spurs first, because that's the team.
Yeah.
So
they're in the top three, so, and now we have, you know, a team who also thinks they can be up there, but I disagree.
Yeah, a small load up here going on with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We still don't know yet about Russell Westbrook with the extension. I feel like that's going to get done. Maybe this was just to appease him, but then they basically, I mean, Adam, they swindled Paul George. They did. I mean, Oladipo and Sabonis for George is a swindling.
No draft picks.
I mean, nothing.
Like we said, it was personal.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm going to dump George here. I'm going to take back a worse deal than I possibly could have. Yeah, you know, losing Taj Gibson will hurt them because he provided.
Not only that, Taj was on the stage with Russ when he did the MVP ceremony, when he won the MVP for the NBA award show. Do you feel like that's kind of like that might hurt the locker room a little bit because he was like a friend of Russell's?
No, because it's all business. I think that whole team, you sort of know, once Durant left, it was sort of like, okay, we get it now. It doesn't matter who you're friends with.
That NBA award show did show this. Like, when Russell's like, I want to bring my guys up here, and then you're looking at him, you're like, holy shit, no wonder why he had to do everything. I mean, I like Steven Adams. I don't like Enes Kanter. Andre Robertson's back in the fold, but they got him for 3 years, $30 million. That's actually a good deal. You know, I was actually anticipating more than that.
It's a friendly deal. I guess, you know, in the end, his value of – he can't do anything on the offense, so it's just – You got a good D guy who doesn't shoot threes that well. So,
well, the thing is too is that they had tax and they had luxury tax / over the cap issues too, even after Durant left, because they were giving all the rest of that money to Russ. You know, because they renounced. That's why Durant was non-bird. That's why it wasn't a sign and trade, because they couldn't take on any more money. They were trying to load up to appease Durant. When Durant left, now they're trying to appease Westbrook. Oladipo's out. You know, Taj Gibson, like you mentioned. And the only other one that's kind of gone that I know is Norris Cole. Samaje Christen was in the summer league for the Thunder, but Lord knows if he's going to stay. Outside of that, you know, you got Patterson. They did sign Raymond Felton to a small potatoes deal. The Patterson deal at 3 years, $16 million is a huge discount. I don't know how they pulled that off, but it's one of those things where Patterson was one of the guys left out of the mix after the big free agent was signed and nobody had the money. So
And you sort of forget. He's one of those players you sort of forget about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, he's good, but yeah, he's, you know, a backup. He's not really, you know, he was a value pick, and you know, like I said, they'll be good, but you're not going to topple the top three.
And then there's George. I mean, do you feel like that's going to be? I mean, do you feel like that's a rental? Or do you feel like they can make that work?
It's a rental.
Okay. Now we kind of get to kind of some weird ones up. Memphis, do you feel like this is sort of a turning of the page because of Vince Carter? Well, not Vince Carter necessarily, because he was only there for a few years, but Zach Randolph really being out of the mix now.
It was just, well, they got too old, and this is something they should have done 2 years ago, but you held the team together too long, and they got too old and too much money, so you had to break it up. It's just their signings are just these two teams, it was like their signings, but it was like a trade in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis gets Tyreek for 1 year, Ben Lacamoire for 2 years, $10 million,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we got burnt by that last year.
Yeah.
And they lose Vince Carter, who signed a 1 year deal in Sacramento, and Zach Randolph, who signed a 2 year deal in Sacramento. So it's just like, okay, you traded Carter and Randolph for Tyreek and McLemore.
So we'll get to Sacramento in a second with Dave Jorger, but let's just hit on Memphis. I don't know if they got better necessarily. I think they got a little bit more athletic, which was a big problem for them in the playoffs and in previous playoffs, where they just didn't have the athleticism to match up with some teams. Defensively, they're still good, but you know, bringing in Wayne Selden, they liked Wayne Selden. He wasn't drafted, but he went to the D League. He was very good. He even got some playoff minutes. Ben McLemore, I just don't understand it. Like, I don't think he's an NBA player, but he's got NBA athleticism.
It's the old, you know, maybe it was just where he was. We're going to be the reclamation project.
Yes. Now, what about Jamichael Green? That's another restricted free agent. Will they or won't they kind of thing?
Nobody seems to know that.
His agent says they got offer sheets in front of them. Well, if he does, why haven't you signed them? That's how I feel about that. If you sign the offer sheet, then the deadline kicks in the match. Tony Allen, I think, is done. I don't think they have the cap space to fit in Tony Allen after they signed Tyreek Evans.
No, Tyreek, that $3.3 million was probably what they offered to
mid-level or whatever they call that, you know?
That was probably Tony Allen's money. He said, no, I'm not going to give that much of a discount. So they said, okay, we need to move on.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel like being kind of really close to that tax is an okay situation for Memphis? Do you feel like they're good enough to justify it?
No, because they're going to be out of the playoffs now.
Okay, but then there's the rumor about Marc Gasol getting traded, which is just like, okay, if you're going to trade Marc Gasol, then just blow the whole fucking thing up. And that's why a lot of people talk about Boston's Memphis pick in, like, what, is it 2 years? Where people are like, ooh, that might be a good pick because Memphis might be bad by then.
Yeah, and that's just a lot of, you know, the media, well, let's just swarm around this. It's like, well, no. Nobody has money for Gasol, who's a contender, so...
And because you used a lot of that remaining small space on with the exceptions on wings and guard guys... it's late. The thing is, like, if you lose Jamichael Green, then you're in a really tough situation, because now you're relying on Jarrell Martin and Deontay Davis, and then Ivan Rabb, the rookie that they drafted. They've got to play. I mean, you got no choice.
Yeah, it's a rebuilding by default thing with him. But yeah, it's just weird. And then, you know, just quickly touching on Sacramento, they weren't horrible.
This reeks of getting the band back together, to me, with Dave Joerger. I mean, Zach Randolph, 2 years, $24 million, is a bad deal. It's just a straight-up bad deal. You could have gotten him for $6 million a year. I'm serious. Are you laughing at me because I'm wrong?
I don't know.
I mean, I just don't.
I don't know. It's just they're questionable deals, but they're, you know, the young people they have aren't ready to play at all. They're 27 big men they have drafted who are all 19 years old or younger. You know, it's good to get a veteran in who, you
know. But you don't want to bring in veterans that tie up your cap or tie up any cap space when you start to slowly improve in the next 2 years and maybe land a big free agent like Denver did. Like, you don't want to do that. And, I mean...
But next year, again, it's an expiring deal next year.
You know, George Hill...
George
Hill got the Jeff Teague deal. I mean, is he better than Jeff Teague? Probably. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's, like, an earth-shaking move for Sacramento. He brings in veteran leadership. You know, and
he brings in veteran leadership. He's a proven over Collison.
And the third year, I don't think is fully guaranteed, which is helpful in case he really slows down, because I think he's at age 30 or maybe.
So, yeah, they're just small deals. 2 years, I'm fine with.
Do you want to hear a really funny one I heard? Vince Carter, I think, came into the NBA before he went to North Carolina before De'Aaron Fox was even born.
That's the way it sort of is now.
I mean, we've talked about their rookie haul before, which I really, really liked, which I think is why it kind of, like, I don't want to just give the Kings, like, a C-, because I feel like Fox, Jackson, and Giles are going to help them down the road. What about Bogdanovich? We cannot – this is going to happen forever in NBA Twitter, but this is not Bojan Bogdanovic, who signed with the Pacers and played last year with the Wizards. This is a point guard who played for Serbia, I want to say, right?
Was he a point guard?
He kind of was. He was like an off-guard type of player when Tia Dosic wasn't handling the point.
It's the highest ever deal for a rookie, so he must be good.
3-year deal, somewhere in the range of, what, $10 million, $8
million? Was it?
It was high.
Yeah, of course, that's the one I didn't put down.
Because nobody got confirmation on the deal. It's still kind of like, the first rumor was 3 years, 36. Everyone was like, what? $12 million a year for an international comeover guy? You gotta be kidding.
Yeah, I think it sort of worked its way down to like 3 and 30. But yeah, $10 million for a year for rookie. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays out. But again, just sort of smart moves for Sacramento, who we all sort of expected a train wreck.
Letting go of Aaron Aflalo was smart. I don't even think he's been picked up yet. Ben McLemore renouncing his pleas. I mean, that never worked. Rudy Gay already said he was out of there because he thought that place was a shithole. Langston Galloway left because... I mean, if you get an offer from Detroit like that, I understand why you immediately, you know, wanted to just go somewhere else, you know, and got out of your player option. He wound up making more by getting out of his player option. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it really makes any difference to Sacramento is what I'm saying. Darren Collison, whatever, you know.
And then to wrap it up, we have the champions who just don't care about spending money.
The Golden State taxpayers?
You know, oh, Durant took a surprisingly huge deal. Well, it doesn't matter since Curry's making 48, you know, 40 million.
Yeah, well,
Iguodala's carved out.
What you're talking about here is that Durant went from the 35% supermax that was rumored that he would take when he opted out. Then it went to 31 million because he was going to take a little less in order to keep Iguodala. Then he took even less than that at what, like 25 million a year or 25 million so that they could bring in people on taxpayer mid-level and re-sign Zaza Pachulia and David West. But they also bring in Nick Young, 1 year, $5 million, which is like the taxpayer mid-level, I believe, right?
Yeah, and then it's just going to be this. They're going to be paying a lot of tax money.
They bring in Jordan Bell from the draft, which they – a draft pick that they literally bought. And then the other one was Omri Caspi, which they got for minimum money.
We got for minimum. It's just, you know, Durant took a huge discount, but Iguodala said, nope, I'm going to
yep.
– I want every penny I can. And
Do you think he really thought about leaving? Rumor was Houston. He even thought about taking the MLE that P.J. Tucker got in Houston just out of spite. Like, oh, I'll just do this, you know, in order – but I don't know if he was really going to take that much less because he got double that from the deal he signed with Golden State. If he'd have taken –
well, that was the rumor is he was going to take it, but that's just if they couldn't carve out more money from him. He was also lining up other – he had lots of other meetings lined up.
Yeah, I mean San Antonio I think was another rumored one. But, you know, they're kind of bringing it all back in. You know, Damian Jones and Kevon Looney are playing in summer league, so they're actually healthy. Patrick McCaw's interesting going forward because he actually played fairly well, but he's going to be a restricted free agent, and they will not have the money. This is – Adam, I'm going to be honest with Golden State. It doesn't start here. It starts next year because they're not going to be.
Oh no! It starts. This is the beginning of the end.
This is the
beginning
of the decline. And listen, that's why I don't want to call Golden State a dynasty. Yes, they've won two titles in the last 3 years. They've been in the finals 3 years in a row. They were like what a block on the glass away from winning three in a row. That's kind of smells like a dynasty. And maybe they'll win another title in 2018. Very likely will. And people will say, oh, this is a dynasty. Three titles in 4 years, but. This is kind of like Miami when it was LeBron and Wade and Bosch. This is sort of the beginning of the end. I mean, the financials always come back to get you. This tax bill could exceed up to $400 million by the time we get to 2020 if they actually kept all of these players. That's why they can't keep all of these players.
Yep, that's the...
And also, Iguodala's 33 years old, so the only reason why I call Iguodala a bad contract is that by the time you get to the third year of that deal, he's 36 years old, and he won't even be nearly as valuable as he was.
Yeah, that's the thing. This year, the luxury tax will probably be, like, what, $40 million? Next year, it'll probably be about $85
million.
The year after that, it'll be, like, $200
million. Because, like we're saying, repeater tax penalties are steeper. They triple. So now you're, like, really – like, you're going from $1.50 – for every $1.50 you go over the tax, it's, like – it goes to, like – if you're a repeater, it's, like, $4.50. Like, it's steep. It's a steep tax bill. But listen, they got a new arena coming in. They're making tons of money in the box office based on jersey sales. Durant's jersey, I believe, is listed at number one. So they've got the money. But how long do you want to
– Yeah, they have the money now, but you're not going to have, you know, $100 million.
Trying to poo-poo in the Golden State Warriors. They actually had a good probably the best offseason of all the teams. Would you say that?
Yeah, they kept everybody together.
They got Curry back, $40 million a year. Like, I mean, this sounds stupid, but is Curry worth $40 million a year?
He's worth $400 million a year.
Durant is worth maybe double what he got, if that's the case, because he was the finals MVP. I mean, he's going to get his Supermax at 35% next year. You know, I mean, all these teams are doing it. James Harden just did it. You know, everyone is just
holding off,
because they want that cap to rise. Because, like we keep saying, these Supermaxes are not based on money. They're based on the percentage of the cap. So if the cap goes up, your Supermax goes up. And that's why people are holding off and taking less deals, shorter deals, so that they can just sign another one and sign another one. The other thing this does too, though, is that it creates urgency for these GMs, because like LeBron with Dan Gilbert, is that if you sign shorter deals, then you could leave sooner. You know, you don't get them in the long term.
Yep, loyalty is dead now.
Exactly. Okay, just kind of – we're wrapping up, but just give me like a general like – like, how? Who do you feel like was the biggest winner? We're just going to do this very quickly and get out of here.
As everybody said, Boston, they got the player they wanted. Utah did everything right. They're the biggest loser.
Yeah.
Just from sheer stupidity, Indiana made the dumbest choices. The Knicks, smartest choice in finally getting rid of Phil.
But they made the dumbest signing in getting Tim Hardaway Jr. back.
Yeah, but he's a better player than Noah is, so it's a bad contract, but at least he can play.
Yeah, I have to – like we talked about off the top with the West, we have to leave a lot of West teams out because there weren't a lot of, like, impact moves. The biggest winner, I would say, outside of Golden State, obviously, is Minnesota. I think Minnesota got better immediately. I don't want to say Denver yet because Denver made literally one move, so it really depends on how you feel about that one move. Oklahoma City, I kind of liked it. I give a question mark to Houston because, you know, Chris Paul did not sign a new contract. He opted into the last year. Paul can still leave Houston if he wants to. So, to be continued, in my opinion.
The biggest loser, Portland.
The Clippers, I felt like, wasn't the biggest win. You know, it feels they're trying to reset a team with the idea that they're still going to be a playoff team, and that I don't think that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, and then other winners, I'd say in the East, Boston, like you mentioned, Detroit, and then I give a question mark to Miami, and I kind of stop it there.
Fair enough.
All right, and that's going to be wrapping up this kind of longer episode of the NBA podcast. And see you later, guys. We'll be back.